I'd like to call to order the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee meeting, December 8th, 2020, 4 o'clock p.m. Notification of the open meetings law is posted on the board on the door on your right. Before we call the roll, Kevin Sapinski will be filling in for Tim Fowler at this meeting. Roll call. Quorum call.
Here. Here.
Here. Item number four, adoption of agenda. Can I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call.
Yes.
Yes.
We have proof of publication of tonight's meeting, which will be part of the permanent record. I'd like to go back and read the Open Meetings Act. A copy of the Open Meetings Act, Nebraska Revised Statute 84-1407 through 84-1414 is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that we use for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the director will first hear staff proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to speak to the item. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action, and we'll ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Item number five, already went through that. Item number six, review and recommendation on 2021 pay program administrative. Mitch Manuel, Gene Tate, and John Winkler.
Good afternoon. I'm here to present the proposed changes to the district's pay program administration manual for 2021. Due to Silverstone Group's company policy regarding COVID-19, Ashley Tamala was not able to be with us today. Bill, if you could go to page 7. Silverstone is recommending a 2% increase to the base pay structure for 2021 as supported by their compensation planning bulletin for 2020 and the U.S. World at Work salary budget survey. This recommendation is consistent with prior year's updates to the district's pay program administration manual on the years a market analysis is not conducted. Last year's increase to the pay structure was 2.2%. This year, we're recommending the 2%. Next year, the district plans to conduct a market analysis of job descriptions. On the board, you can see the change, the 2% change as reflected to the midpoints. If you go to page 19, this chart is the relationship to market. The impact of the change to the pay structure occurs during the merit-based evaluation process. Depending on an employee's performance rating and where they fall in the relationship to market chart that's on the board will determine what they'll receive for an annual pay increase. Page 20. Other changes to the pay program includes removing the reference to the length of service pay grade increase at 7 years, which the board voted to grandfather until December 31st of 2020. On page 21, the 2021 cost of living adjustment will remain at 0%. A highlighted version of the proposed 2021 pay manual is included in your books. The recommendation is that the subcommittee recommend to the board of directors that the proposed amendments to the pay program administration manual for 2021 be adopted and incorporated to the district's policy manual. I would be happy to address any questions you might have.
First, can we have a motion first?
I'll move that we accept the staff recommendation.
Got a second? I think Gene wanted to know if you had any questions.
Was there a cost of living increase last year?
No, there has not been a cost of living increase for the last several years.
Right. The other question I had was also, this gives a range from the different salary or the different positions, like low, middle. How many years do you have to work to get to like even the mid-range in this structure now?
Director Dapp, I went ahead and did some research on that. So we currently have 52 employees. 50 are full-time, 2 are part-time. Out of those 52, 1 is under a contract, 29 are at or above the midpoint, 10 are at 93 to 97% of the midpoint, 12 are at 80% to 89.5% of the midpoint. Out of those 12, 4 are progressing through the merit-based process, 5 are new employees that has less than 1 year of service, and 3 of those were promoted to higher salary grades, and which lowered them to the midpoint of that new salary grade because they were increased to by like several salary grades for the upgrade. I would say on the average for employees that meet expectations or far exceeds expectations, the range is between 4 to 7 years.
Then they can expect to be at midpoint of the salary scale?
As long as they're performing at a higher
average,
level.
On average.
Yes.
4 to 7 years? Okay. And you said next year this whole thing is going to be reexamined again?
What happens is we submit all the updated job descriptions to Silverstone, and they do a market analysis on each individual job description. And then Ashley will come back, and we'll do a presentation probably in October of next year with their recommendations.
When was the last time that was done?
It was done 3 years ago.
3 years ago? And by Silverstone, correct? How many years has Silverstone done, though, the entire analysis like that, do you know?
9 or 10 years.
Okay, I mean, I don't know who you had before that, but is Silverstone superior to who you've used before, or how did we decide on Silverstone?
Prior to that, the assessments were done in-house.
In-house?
By my predecessor, and she would just take the job descriptions taken from the state salary surveys,
okay,
and she would accumulate all the ratings, and she'd come up with a formula to determine what the salary grade was for each one.
Okay.
When John got here, he thought it was best to take it outside the district staff of coming up with that percentage. And that's when we started with Silverstone Group.
Okay, that was the
It used to be, Director Jeff, that we would come before the board and say, okay, everybody's going to get 2% and 1% COLA, or everybody's going to get 1.5% and... You know, and so everybody got the same. It was just flat. There was really no incentive to...
Right.
And so that's how we kind of started the new appraisal system, and then also having Silverstone go out. And the state scale is so skewed because Omaha and Lincoln, the salaries are so... So we're comparing our salaries to folks that are working in Scotts Bluffs and some of the small... It penalized our employees for working in the metro area. That's typically more expensive to live in.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's why we went with an outside consultant, so we weren't making that up on our own.
Just one other quick question on the cost of living thing. I guess there is some inflation, not much, but we assume that the increase is enough, it's going to take care of the cost of living. Is that it? Plus some merit pay increase also is going to. All right.
We've also had some discussion about actually just removing the cost of living from the policy. We just haven't decided to do that yet.
Right. Thank you.
Of course.
Director McCormick, did you have your hand up?
I did not.
Okay. Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a couple of questions on when they heard some words and terms performing at a certain level. If they were performing at a certain level, then they would. But when they're getting rated, how many people are rating them? Is it more than one, or is it just one person, one supervisor rating the employee, or is it, you know, a board or a council that's rating them?
No. So it's the chain of command. So the employee will be assessed by their supervisor. The evaluation will be reviewed by their supervisor's supervisor, if that is the next step. And then the final step is that all of the evaluations are approved by the general manager.
And I go through each and every one of them, and I have changed ratings before due to either I have information that the supervisor didn't have, and I will coordinate with the supervisor, but I have changed ratings. And the amount of the increase, because I have the board approved to give an additional 1% for those employees that either continually exceed or maybe far exceed in one certain year. So I've got ability to modify that too. So there's at least two or three of us that go through.
Okay, good. So it's not the same person every year. There's
well, it's a supervisor every year, but
there's checks and balances is what I want to make sure.
So it's just not one person and then sign off and done. There is checks and balances.
Okay, and that can work both ways. And the employee, they have opportunity to appeal, and the appeal decision or process.
Comment when they go get their appraisal, they have the opportunity to sit with their supervisor or me or whoever to, if they don't agree with a certain rating or if they would like to see something changed, we, of course, open that up for the employee to participate.
Okay. And I don't know if, well, questions are coming on page 16 of the, I see that a big lengthy paragraph has been deleted or it's proposed to be deleted, length of service increase.
Right. In that was approved by the board a number of years ago to eliminate the length of service increases, and then we extended the grandfather to December 31st of this year because we had several employees that were so close to getting their service, we didn't want to penalize them.
Okay.
So everybody has got their length of service that was close enough that the board agreed that we can eliminate that.
And if I can add, Director Bradley, part of the reason why they eliminated the length of service salary grade increase at the seven-year mark is that it pushed people above and beyond their market. So we had several individuals that were making far, far beyond the market when we had a 7, 15, and 25-year salary grade increase. And so the purpose was to hire the best people at the amount that is equitable to employees outside of the district. So we're competing with other organizations outside of the NRD.
And that's good. Now he's not always, but many times, what's so bad about it being above the market? I mean, if you're that good, you know, and somebody's put in their time, and when they were, you know, that's the way it was designed, it was set up, and they were all in, and then all of a sudden, well, we're going to change this, and if you're above market, but don't want to get drag this out too much. I just want to say, for the record, that any employees of the Papua Missouri NRD have freedom to speak, permission to speak freely. And if they have any grievance with this, that they, you know, should feel free to contact any of us directors and also, but to speak freely, you know, at the podium if you have any grievance or if you're okay with it. I mean, if it's a... And many times we don't hear much grievance, or I guess everything's hunky-dory, everybody's satisfied, that's good. But also at this time, it's time to come forward. You know, you have permission to speak if there's anything you disagree with. If all the employees had their turn to look through this and if they can vote on it, if it works that way.
Issue or question that needs to be addressed. And I don't think we've ever not been able to address an issue at the point that they ever had to go, well,
no. Well, thank you. Thank you so much, guys. You're doing good.
Director Teason?
Well, I would, no offense, but I would disagree. I think the employee ought to go up the chain of command, not be jumping and talking to a director, because we may not be aware of certain items that management is, and I don't think that would be proper at all. There's a chain of command, it's established, and we ought to be living by the chain of command.
Right. We have very detailed procedures,
yes,
that is laid out policy to go through. So it's very clear, and everybody should know it, or
they're very easy to get to agree. You know, I don't want Jim Visa calling me and saying, hey, I'm getting... Was Jim, are you here? God damn it.
And, Fred.
Yes.
And your counsel is well taken, Director Teaser, and I understand what you're saying. I guess somehow, if I didn't word it correctly, I just wanted to make sure that the employees have a way of not getting around and going directly to us, but being heard, even if in a public forum or if they, you know, had a steward or somebody to speak for them. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, they had that ability. That's what I meant.
Right.
There is a place on the employee evaluation form that allows for employees' comments. And if anyone has any concerns, I know that historically they have met with John. I've had some people talk to me for explanations as well, and they've all been resolved at that level.
Any other, Director Bagley?
Thanks, Director Conley. A couple questions. So the ratings, can you tell the ratings, like, is there far exceeds, above expectations, meets, or below? What is the scale that they do this on?
Bill, can you go back to page 19? Thank you. So this is our relationship to market. Number one's rating is meets expectations. Hold on. Is below expectations. Two is meets expectations. Three is exceeds expectations. And four is far exceeds expectations. If somebody falls in a category one, they're kind of put on a probationary assessment to be reviewed again as a supervisor requires, whether it's, you know, in 2 weeks, just to make sure that we bring them up to where they need to be in order for them to be able to meet a higher level based on their job description.
Okay, and so if I'm getting my evaluation, am I going in there, I'm assuming this, correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, when I go in there, do I know if there was issues with me? Was I made aware of that ahead of time, that I had time to correct it?
Well, as a supervisor, that's part of your responsibility to give your people constant feedback about where they fall in the system and if they have issues that they need to be working on. No one should be shocked. Okay. There's enough supervisors and enough employees that work for that individual that they can have that ongoing communication.
So the answer is yes?
The answer is
okay. And a couple other questions. So, and John, you mentioned the appeal process. So that goes through the chain of command, as we discussed earlier. That in relation to the that 7 year, everybody was grandfathered in. So is it fair to say that the people 7 years and under that weren't grandfathered in, that's a pay reduction now for them?
It's not a pay reduction. It's just they are working at the market value of that salary grade.
And that's from Silverstone's market?
That was, yes, from that assessment. The last time we did the market analysis,
3 years?
They made three changes. And the first one was to grandfather that salary grade increase at 7 years, to extend it until December of this year.
Okay.
And then the other one eliminated the 15-year increase, and the last one was a 25-year increase. Because what would happen is you could be, for example, a salary grade 10, and that's where the market shows that your job description falls in line with. Well, if you get a salary grade increase at 7, that takes you to an 11. You get one at 15, that takes you to a 12. And then when you get one at 25, that takes you to a 13. So you've exceeded that chart by three salary grades. And, Bill, if you want to go back to page 7, we can kind of take a look and see exactly how that. So if you were in a salary grade 10, the midpoint would be, if you approve this, $77,432 would be what the midpoint is. If you get a salary grade increase at 7, 15, and then 25, that would take you to a salary grade 13. So your midpoint would now be $103,062 as opposed to the $77,500. So it skews what individuals were making based on the market.
Okay. And one other question, the market analysis they compare to, what are the scales they use? Is it Midwest? Is it surrounding states?
They use different information from different sources of information. Part of it is SHRM. Part of it is World at Work. Other organizations that prepare market assessments for specific job descriptions. There's several vendors that they use. And at this time next year when we're looking at it, you'll see that information. So you'll know what they're comparing it to.
They do private sector, government, Midwest, national. So there's all kinds of different.
Okay. And so thanks for answering that. And I guess my only, I don't say a concern, but I would like to know more of is you can cherry pick this data, right? I mean, it's a race to the bottom or the top. And I'm not saying this is being done, but that's kind of what I would like to get a better understanding of next year, or at least going forward, that are they comparing that data to what's fair, and what is, how do they define what's fair, I guess?
They submit us several pages of different job descriptions and assessments for every job description we have. And then it's up to staff to go through those, along with Silverstone's recommendations, to say, okay, which one of these most closely meets the job description? And there's several that, I mean, there could be two pages that might have seven or eight on each page that has to be read through, and to see which ones apply, and which time we give that information back to Silverstone, and they make the determination on where they fall on that salary grade.
Right. They don't make it, we do. And we can, during the presentation, we can discuss with the board how we make those determinations.
Okay.
So we really have to look at not only government, we have to compete with the private sector as well. If that's engineers or even operation maintenance folks, we have to compete with the grading contractors and other vendors. So we don't have the luxury of just looking at the government salary. We have to look at everybody. So I remember the last time we did that, we really had to pay attention for HDR and those folks to come and say, oh, we want to take XYZ employee. So we have to compete with them as well.
Okay. So then answer my question.
Yeah, we can. When we go through the process, it's enlightening that all the things that you look at. It's not just somebody going, let's just pick that really low scale, we're going to go with that. And it's a lot more than that.
And I didn't think that was happening, but I at least get a better understanding. So if I do got questions on it, then you'll hear, I'll ask. So.
Yeah, and we make the final determination. They just give us recommendations. Okay. So it's not just so you've got to go with this one.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Of course.
Any other directors? I forgot to ask. Did anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? I guess no one there. All right. Roll call.
Savitsky? Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
And Jefferson?
Aye. Thank you, Jane. Item number 7, review and recommendation on update to the district's employee handbook. You're up again.
Right. Next, I'm going to present the proposed changes to the district's employee handbook. A copy of my memo with the detailed changes in a redlined version to the handbook can be found in your books. The proposed changes to the handbook are date changes to the cover page, verification, and not acknowledgement pages only. So those are the changes to the employee handbook. Now, the district safety manual is a part of the employee handbook, and this year we went ahead and we did a good review and made changes accordingly. Our proposed changes are a date change to the cover page, administrative changes to how the building inspections are conducted. It adds a requirement for pictures to be taken at scene of an accident and of any property damage in case anyone's involved in a motor vehicle accident. Refers to annual bloodborne pathogens training. Reference to remind drivers to turn off vehicles and equipment while outside of vehicles. Housekeeping changes to who can perform first aid treatment, and refers to the wear of a district purchased ice rescue suit when staff are taking ice measurements. Upon board approval, the updated handbook and safety manual will be distributed to all employees for their verification and acknowledgement. So it's our recommendation that the subcommittee recommend to the Board of Directors that the proposed amended language changes to the employee handbook and safety manual be approved and incorporated to the district's policy manual. And again, I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Could we have a motion?
Move to accept staff recommendations.
Chair.
Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to ask maybe counsel or enlighten me the Good Samaritan law in the state of Nebraska. So when you're replacing the first aid, first responders, in-house first responders with employees trained in first aid and CPR. I was just wondering why that upgrade.
We certainly abide by the Good Samaritan laws, and that information is put out to employees during staff meetings. The correction to this first aid training had referred to having an in-house fire and rescue person be the person to respond to first aid, CPRs. We've always had first aid and CPR training for all staff members. So we were just doing a house cleaning change to that verbiage.
Good to know. Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Dan Jefferson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move. If there's no anybody needs a break, or we'll move to the next deal. Program projects and operations subcommittee meeting December 8th, 2020. Notification of the Open Meetings Act is the same as the prior committee. Quorum call.
Bradley?
Here.
Jeff?
Here.
Minsky?
Here.
Keezer?
Here.
Ben Chairperson?
Aye. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Keezer?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
And Chairperson?
Aye. Item number six, review and recommendation for P, Papio NRD, and LP NRD 3D AEM Hydro Geologic Framework and Assessment Power Order.
All right. Good evening. Thank you. I also have to assist me here tonight, John Moore with JEO Consulting Group. He's a sub-consultant with Leonard Rice Engineering on this potential project. So we did apply for a WSF grant to cover some of these funds for the project, and that grant did get approved. So we got information on that and have even got the contract for that. So that got signed. The purpose of the project is to take the the data we already have, which is just like millions of points of resistivity data, and what has to be done is to take those points and then to put them into kind of cells and different layers in the ground, and that it can be brought into a groundwater model. This is similar to what Lower Elkhorn NRD has already done. They've done this conversion and then this assessment to make sure everything was done correctly, and they're in the process of creating a model now. So what Lower Platte North and the Papio are trying to do is basically duplicate that process, be consistent with what they're doing, so that because what we have currently is Nebraska DNR through the state has released a model that covers our area, a groundwater model. It covers our area. It doesn't incorporate any of the AEM data today. And we just feel it's not very accurate or comprehensive in terms of representing all the data that we've worked to collect in eastern Nebraska. So this goes a long way to get us ready to work with DNR to potentially change that model or do the modeling conjunctively with us in Lower Platte North. So that's where it's at. If you scroll down a little bit further, just the breakdown in dollars, it would be a total project of $306,000. This work would be done during next year, be done by the end of 2021, which is something we're trying to work towards so we can meet this next step of the model. After we get the grant, and then DNR is also going to work with us to provide around $26,000, not as part of the grant, kind of separately. Our total would be $66,800, and Lower Platte North would be $45,200. So to set that up, what we've got here is two things. We've got the interlocal agreement between us and Lower Platte North. In this agreement, we would be the administrator, so we would be hiring the contractor to do the work. We would be receiving the grant funds and being the administrator for the grant, and then we'd be making those payments and making sure the work gets done. Lower Platte North would just pay us their share as the work went along. We would have conjunctive meetings with Nebraska DNR, Lower Platte North, us, and the consultant throughout the project. So go down a little bit further. We feel that we shouldn't be looking at going through the qualifications-based selection process on this right now, mainly to be consistent with the work that's been done in Lower Elkhorn NRD. We think through that experience that Leonard Rice and JEO working on that have used a specific software called LeapFrog. And in that, it was tested. We didn't know for sure whether it would be able to handle all this data all at one time and be able to produce a model. But it really worked well. It came through, and DNR has supported that. So it's something that we know they'll support as we go through this process as well. So we just feel that right now they're probably the most qualified with this type of software and this work at this time. So they put together a contract. That would be the second thing that needs approval, is to approve the contract with them. It's for the exact same amount as was estimated and put in for the WSF grant, so there's really no changes there. And that's what we'd be looking at approving. I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any for myself or John.
Thank you. Does he wish to speak? John wants to be.
I'll just help with any questions if you have any.
Okay. Anyone? We could have a motion on this item.
So moved.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors. Director Sapinski.
Thank you, Chairman Conley. We do use this data for what, Paul?
So the groundwater data was pulled together for a couple of reasons. We didn't have a good understanding of what some of the areas looked like beneath ground, especially as you get away from the big rivers, from the Platte, Elkhorn River, and from Missouri. Right. In between that, there's a lot of unknown. And that's what we really feel, for one thing, when we're talking about the quantity of groundwater and what our uses are doing and what's happening to that. The model looks to determine how what we're doing affects groundwater that gets to the streams. So when we go up in the hills, there's groundwater that still sometimes intercepts those streams. And if we have certain uses or we impact that, that can cause less water to flow in our streams. And that's really what we're accounting for, is what is the depletion to stream flow. That's why we need to get to an accurate model. If we use what DNR is using now, it's going to probably over-predict our impact to streams.
It's not accurate.
We would have to over-regulate everybody else because of that.
That's what I thought. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, Paul.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Yes.
Keeper?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yes.
And
Chairperson.
Aye.
Right. Yeah, an A and a B.
So the first vote would be on A?
Yeah, so you just voted 6A, so you can vote 6B.
Okay. Interlocal agreement with Lower Platte North NRD. Would that have been in the motion to approve?
There's a second one on the memo. There's a second one.
There's a second motion?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's B. I see.
Yeah, B.
Okay. We can have a motion on.
I'll move the staff recommendation.
Second
motion.
Any questions? 1B? Public? Roll call.
Teaser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Yes. Aye. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number 7, review and recommendation of unfunded cooperative agreement with USDA/NRCS. Terry Schumacher and Andy Bokamp.
Good afternoon. I have with me Andy Bokamp, the district conservationist with NRCS. We're here to discuss the recommendation of the unfunded cooperative agreement with NRCS. This agreement basically supplements the memorandum of agreement that was signed by both parties last December. And it just reinforces that we have common interests, we share resources to accomplish goals in working with natural resources in the Papua NRD. And we'll be happy to answer any questions.
We can have a motion.
Move to accept staff recommendations.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I had one basic question. So this is just an addendum to the addendum, or is this more clearly defines what the relationship is? We've had a good relationship all along, but now does this just put it into words, or what?
That would basically be correct. I mean, this just kind of puts it in words that way. As people change throughout their careers or whatever happens, that they can always refer to this document. And this document will be a living, breathing document that will be reviewed every year.
Every year?
Yes.
Okay.
If I could add, there has never been a document like this one, the unfunded cooperative agreement, before. This was kind of enacted to further clarify how the states among the NRCS agency and the nation handle partnerships like the one we have with the NRD. Since Nebraska is unique, ours is a little bit different, but other states are doing the same thing with the Soil and Water Conservation District. So our agency, after it got reorganized here a couple years ago, is trying to better define the partnership roles throughout the nation and any state. So Nebraska's just got a little bit different situation, and so this is one way we thought would be a good way to handle that, to further detail the
Are all NRDs in Nebraska doing this same thing?
Yes.
So we're okay.
Yeah, and
we're not unique in that regard.
We are not unique, except for we do have different resource needs, responsibilities,
right.
And we worked that out and defined that.
But they're all coming up with a similar type document to
exactly.
this.
Exactly. Okay, yep.
That's all.
Would you just identify yourself for the record?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm Andy Bonenkamp, district conservationist for the Papio Missouri River NRD.
Thank you. Any other questions? Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Aye. Item number 8, review and recommendation to adopt updates to District Policy 17.3, Conservation Assistance Program, Papillion Creek Watershed 319 Incentives. Terry Schumacher and Kyle Mattson.
How are you? The district was awarded a 319 grant by the Nebraska.
Would you just identify yourself for the record? Identify yourself for the record.
Kyle Mattson.
Okay, thank you.
The district was awarded this year a 319 grant from the Nebraska Department of Environment and Energy. 319 grant is specifically meant for watershed impairment based on E. coli concerns. According to the agreement, we were to direct these funds towards three hydrologic units in the Big Papio watershed. In working with collaboration with NRCS, FSA, Nebraska Department of Agriculture, Pheasants Forever, and our own programs, we'd like to take these funds and add them to existing programs that already exist go ahead and provide incentives for conservation measures that actually improve water quality. We wanted to propose an amendment to Policy 17.3. We've done a discovery period over the last couple months with farmers, ranchers, landowners to find out what was the most attractive as far as the use of these grant monies put on top of different incentives. The amendment sort of outlines what we came to in conclusion. Is there any questions?
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
I just had a question. How much money are we talking about as far as our portion of that?
Our portion of the grant in total over the 3-year period is $200,000.
Over 3 years?
Okay. Right. It was a 60-40 agreement. So $300,000 comes from the Nebraska Department of Environment and Energy. $200,000 come from us. And then the rest of it was basically to be found in all the other programs that we added the incentives to.
I mean, looking through everything that happens here, I guess potentially would it help to will this help to decrease the amount of, like, sediment traveling down the Papio into the lakes in Omaha and so forth and
yes.
equalize? Is that the major impetus behind this, one of the things?
Absolutely, yeah. The conservation measures that get implemented on agricultural lands, basically stopping sediment from coming into the watershed, and free-flowing form.
So, like, stop it from getting to lakes, all the lakes in
exactly,
Omaha?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
Basically, it's at the top of the watershed that runs right through Omaha. So.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
Kavinsky?
Yes.
Peter?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Item number 9, review and recommendation of amendment number 1 to professional services contract with JEO for Southern Sarpy Watershed Partnership Construction Stormwater Inspection Services. Amanda Grant.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
So this is an amendment to a professional services agreement with JEO for the South Sarpy Watershed Partnership. So the board would be, her subcommittee would be acting as the administering agent for the South Sarpy Watershed Partnership, just like you act as the administering agent for the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership. So this is an agreement to provide construction site inspections for all the new construction projects in the South Sarpy Watershed. So that what that means is that as things are under construction, we have someone inspecting if the silt fence and the sediment ponds and all of those things that are designed to trap sediment, keep it on the site, are working as they should, and they file any complaints and work things out with the jurisdiction that's within that South Sarpy. So in the Papillion Creek watershed, the group pays the City of Omaha to do those inspections. Omaha declined to continue that for the South Sarpy watershed just because there was a lot more activity than they thought, and it's so much further away from their offices. It was kind of getting to be too much. So early this year, January of 2020, the South Sarpy Watershed Partnership approved a contract with JEO to do this work, and they just, the sentiment at the time was just to do 1 year, see how it went, see if everybody, you know, if that was going to work out for everybody and if that would be a good fit. The South Sarpy Partnership voted at the November 20th, 2020 meeting unanimously to extend the contract with JEO. Everyone had very good things to say about how they've been conducting site inspections, how they've been working out violations with the communities, helping the communities enforce those and providing support to them. So really good feedback. And so the group decided to extend this inspection, construction site inspection service through the length of the partnership agreement, which is 5 years. So this is a rather large amendment, but it does cover, it should cover the 5-year South Sarpy Watershed Partnership Agreement. And it's an hourly not to exceed, because this is kind of work that's based on however many things are under construction at any given time, so there'll be highs and lows to the hours. So they anticipated about 35 sites going on at any given time for this next 5 years, and that brings the amendment to $704,983. And that's the total contract then would be $868,573. And that's a not to exceed. Dan Fricke from JEO is here for any questions as well. And if you have any questions, we'll be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
Second.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Director Jett?
I have just a question. On the total cost, is it what? And I guess, how much of it are we paying ourselves, and how much is the rest of the partnership paying?
So this gets paid by, everyone pays a fee
right
to be part of the partnership, and then we collect watershed fees from development that's ongoing. For example, Facebook was a huge, you know, windfall for the South Sarpy Partnership because they paid a humongous fee that we've been able to keep in the account. So that's where that money comes from, the fees that the NRD and other entities pay, and what is collected from watershed fees. So directly from the NRD, and I don't know that number, and I could find out for you. I'm sorry. 60. Okay, we pay $60,000 per year. For
and the other partnership members also pay into this fund too, I assume?
They all do, okay. And then the fees. And we do a number of studies. We do the construction services. There's the things, other things that get paid for out of that fund.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Roll call.
Spinski?
Yes.
Keeper?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Peter?
Aye. Thank you. Item number 10, review and recommendation of Weston Sharpie / Clear Creek Flood Control Project Operation and Maintenance Addendum. Martin.
Okay, thank you. Bill, if you can go to the map, the first map after this memo. First show you where this project's at. It's located in Saunders County and also in Gretna, or in Sharpie County. So it's Highway 6 upstream, so Lenoma Beach is the south end of this project. It goes for 13 miles on the Saunders County side and 8 miles on the Sharpie County side. And so it's a joint project with two other entities, Lower Platte North, Lower Platte South, and also the other partner is National Guard. And so in 2001, we had the first agreement, which basically started the effort and allowed for the percentage of payment by the different parties. 2003 agreement was to build the National Guard portion of the levee. And then this agreement is an addendum, which basically what it does is allows for division of responsibility for O&M, you might say, for the project. Because the project's all built, it's basically going forward O&M. So on the Sharpie County side, basically the district, Papio, is responsible for those actions on the Sharpie side for the most part. On the Saunders County side, it's basically Lower Platte North, Lower Platte South, and National Guard is splitting up those responsibilities. So that's what the addendum really talks about. There's a chart that goes through who does what. But this is, in terms of, there's no cash outlay necessarily that you're going to see except just the normal maintenance that you do in the levy through this addendum. So that's kind of an overview, and I'll be happy to try to answer any questions you have about this. This project's been going on for, I think, about 30 years roughly, but this first agreement was 2001, so you can see it's been a long, long process, and it's been a lot of effort the last couple of years to try to get this last agreement done so we can get this thing put to rest forever, hopefully, as far as agreements go.
Thank you. We can have a motion on this item.
I move we go with staff recommendation.
Second that.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
At the armory,
now they have a 100-year life on their property, do
they not? 50-year levies.
All 50-year levies.
Okay, I thought on the bank they put a wall that would be a 100-year wall, or?
No. It's safe 50 years. They looked at that many years ago, but it was decided not to do that.
Okay.
Equal and opposite, I guess, is the way we always described it.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes, Thompson.
I think I've heard about this project for 20 years at least.
Way too long. 93.
So, did I hear you right? Forever, when this is done, this piece of paper is, assume it's going to be approved. I won't hear the language Western Sharpie Clear Creek Flood anymore.
This will be the last agreement, hopefully.
Until the next one.
Next one.
Okay, okay. Any other questions? Roll call.
Keiser?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Right.
I think that completes PPO.
Meeting of the FEL Committee at 4:48 to order. Let's do the Open Meeting Act is posted on the back of the wall as stated previously. With that, quorum call.
Bigley?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Jefferson?
Yes. Adoption agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Gordon?
Yes.
Edgley?
Aye.
Jefferson?
Yes. Proof of publication, I have it before me. Item 6, review and recommendation of fiscal year 2020 audit, Carrie Fye and Jean Gerald of Bergen KDV. Don't cover. Hi, Jeffrey.
We have
Jean Geraltz from Bergen KDV here to talk a little bit about this year's audit. So if you have any questions.
Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Chairman, members of the subcommittee. I previously delivered the audit report. Along with that, there's a separate letter and then a summary of the audit itself. So we're not going to dive into the audit itself, but again, this year, I stand here to report it was a very successful audit, both from our perspective and a reflection of the work that the staff has done at the district. And so a summary of the audit. So you got 54 pages there. There's really only four pages that comes from us, and that's pages 1 and 2 and pages 53 and 54. So that's the opinion on the financial statements and then our report on the internal controls and compliance. Everything else in that document is your information, your financial statements, your data. It's our responsibility to issue an opinion on the accuracy of the financial information included. So there's actually seven different financial statements included there that our opinion covers, and that's what we call an unmodified opinion. What that means is, what that says is that these financial statements are presented fairly in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. The last two pages is a report on internal control compliance. What that report says is that during the course of conducting this audit, we also review your internal controls, and we also are aware of certain matters of noncompliance that we need to consider. And so what that report essentially says is we did not identify any material weaknesses in your internal control system, and we did not identify any noncompliance with any laws and regulations during the course of that audit. So obviously very, very positive things of what you want to hear. Normally, as part of this audit over the past number of years, there's a requirement that we issue a separate opinion or separate report on the audit of federal funds that you received if you received and spent over $750,000 in any fiscal year. This year, we did not have that report. It's kind of unusual because the FEMA money has not received final approval from the federal government that money, even though the projects is really millions of dollars have been spent. So once that receives final approval, that will be included in that fiscal year audit. So when you think about that during the current fiscal year, that'll get approved, and we'll have to go back and audit to make sure that those monies were spent in accordance with the purpose of that program. Not concerned that they weren't. Obviously, we know those monies were spent for levies, and that's not a difficult test for us to do. But there were no major programs where we are issuing another report on the audit of the financial federal programs. There's a separate report on there that's called a required communications letter. It's a two-page letter. Really provides us information about our responsibility, your responsibility, what we do, what's important as part of the audit. The most important thing in there is a statement in there where it says there were no audit adjustments during the year. And so essentially what that means is the data that Carrie and her team provided to us, we didn't make any adjustments to prepare these financial statements. So that's a very positive thing. And frankly, that's probably not a real common item that we find in our audits and even from all governments in the state of Nebraska. I can assure you of that. So, we give all the accolades to Carrie and her team for the work they do, the diligence they do, and the knowledge they have to prepare and to put together the financial statements and maintain the data as it is. We did have four recommendations that came out of this audit, and none of these would be what anything that we consider to be, you know, material items, but they are listed out there. One of them was there was a couple of the small water funds that did exceed their specific budget. What the state of Nebraska requires is your budget in total needs to comply with the total expenditures, and you met that requirement. But there were two small funds that were minimally over the fund expenditure for there. Not really recommending anything other than just monitor that a little more closely as you go through the year. And what happened is I think there were some expenses that were approved at the last meeting of June, and so that slightly moved you over the budget. So the second thing was, during our testing of transactions, we did identify a couple of accounts where the account did exceed your policy of 110% of the line item budget that did not come for your approval. Again, the same thing there. Some expenses were passed, were came through and approved at the very last meeting, and just slightly over that 110%. Again, not a big deal, but just need to report to you a couple things to monitor. The third item is that, including the note, one of the things we look at is your cash insured and collateralized in your bank accounts. And so your Wells Fargo account was not fully collateralized, meaning you didn't have FDIC insurance, or they had not set aside separate investments to collateralize or guarantee that those. You're assuming some risk there in case of the bank failure. That's obviously your decision whether you want to collateralize them. Our responsibility is to report that to you. If Wells Fargo has problems, I think we have bigger problems than just your bank account. So obviously a very solid institution. And then the last thing to note there is we did adopt a new accounting policy on leases. And rather than getting into technicalities, all we did was we included an asset, included a liability for the operating lease balance, so you can see actually on the financial statements what the future lease obligations are. Had no impact on the revenues or expenses, okay? I highlighted some other additional kind of financial highlights. Pretty much these same highlights are also highlighted in the management discussion analysis on the first section of the audit report. I don't necessarily need to go through those unless anybody would like to have any questions on any of those items. But when you look at all those items, the district is in a very solid position financially. Most every one of those ratios, those highlights indicate that the district is stronger financially today than they were 1 year ago. So, that's a reflection on your leadership and the staff, John and his team, to manage the budget and monitor the district's finances in a appropriate and noteworthy way. So with that, I'd be glad to answer any questions. Before I do, there's a couple. In addition to Carrie and her team, Wes Skill, our audit manager, is out here. Really, he's the one that should get all the credit rather than me standing up here and doing that, because he worked closely with Carrie and did all the work. And then also with us tonight is my partner, Jody Rennie, that I just want to introduce, because she leads all of our firm's government services. And as we talked a few years ago when we merged into Bergen KDV, we now are part of a firm that has 7 offices in 4 states. And Jody, who's a partner here in Omaha, she oversees all of the audit services for all of our governments in 4 states, which is pretty substantial. those two are both an integral part of my ability to stand up here and deliver this kind of result for our team, to deliver the kind of service we do. So I just want to recognize them and appreciate John and Carrie and all the support they've given us. So glad to answer any questions or dive into any more of the report if you so choose, Chairman.
Thank you, gentlemen, for your attendance back there. Appreciate that. And can we get a motion on accepting the audit report?
I move for staff recommendation.
Second.
Is there any discussion or comments from the public? Director? Any none? Roll call.
Conley?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes.
Wesley?
Aye.
Wesley?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes. Terry and staff, thank you very much for another excellent job.
Yes, very well done. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Moving on, I think. Okay, I need motion to go into executive session to discuss the land acquisition of West Virginia Regional Basin WP1.
So moved. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Bradley?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Jefferson?
Yeah. The time is 5:10, and can we get a motion to go back into regular session?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
McCormick?
Yes.
Bradley?
Aye.
Jefferson?
Yeah. Can we get a motion on the floor to discuss this item?
A motion to go with staff recommendation.
Okay.
Is there any discussion from the general public?
If you have questions, Mr. Lane's here again, so any
Hey, Mr. Wayne here, all the engineers.
Okay.
I don't know if you wanted to say anything or not.
Just briefly, members of the committee, thanks for having us back again. We're here. I represent an attorney, Jim Lang, representing FRK Development, LLC. This concerns our compensation for the Indian Point subdivision. Doug Kilner from Thompson, Dreesen, and Dorner here as well. I know you have documentation on this that we provided, so if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those, or Doug can answer those as well.
Thank you. Is there any questions for the gentleman? Seeing none, roll call.
Bradley.
Yes.
McCormick.
Yes.
Bradley.
Aye.
Jefferson.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our agenda. We stand adjourned.